Welcome to
Men's Book Club.
Man's Book Club, partner. How you like that one?
I do like it.
It's on theme.
It fits.
It's on theme.
Fits with the Western. Big Western.
It's a big Western. Oh, this is a big Western. This was a big Western. We are here to discuss the epic novel by Larry McMurtry, Lonesome Dove. This is a big one. This is a good, 900 pages, I want to say, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, probably, 800 or 900 pages?
860 pages.
Yeah, if you want a long book, this is the book to sink your teeth
this
in.
This was a good one. This was a massive one. This was a movie in a book. That's what this was. This was definitely interesting. I'm very happy that we read this, regardless of the insides, which we'll discuss. But it feels so good to have, completed this.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like a task that I just finished. It's good.
Good stuff. Especially because, a lot of people probably wouldn't read it because they'll, it's 800 pages.
Like, when you read, a Dickens book or, Gone with the Wind or such something big, you're like, I did that.
Yeah, I accomplished it. And a lot of people probably are not.
Yeah, but the ones that do, you have a bond with them.
You do.
Which I have a funny anecdote about that we'll get to. But let's talk a little bit about this Lonesome Dove, the synopsis of what it was. This is a book that was written in 1985 by Larry McMurtry. It basically talks about the life of these two main characters and their crew, the Hat Creek outfit.
Yeah.
But the main two characters are Augustus and Captain Call, who are these former Texas Rangers living in Texas that all of a sudden, because of their friend who comes into town, Jake Spoon, telling them, brilliant name. Their names here are all pretty fun.
It's like hard to forget that name. It's
great. They basically find out that he tells them that there is this paradise up north in a place called Montana, or as Augustus calls it, Montani. Love that. And Captain Call basically who's really the leader of the outfit. He's kind of like the calm, cool, collected.
Yeah, he's a pretty ambitious, I think he's always working. Mm-hmm.
Right, he's not about sitting around and drinking at the saloons, which is what everybody was doing. And he's really about, he's really just wants to get the task completed. That's really what his life is about. So he decides to actually take some cattle, which he steals, and take his Creek outfit, and he rounds up a few more men, and his friend Augustus, and they decide to make a push for it from South Texas, near the Mexico border, all the way up to northern Montana with this cattle, and basically establish the first ranch up in Montana. Now, there are other characters that kind of make a huge part of this story. One of them is Lori or Lorena. She is the town whore. She's the prostitute that works in the saloon. And she goes on this trip with them because she's with Jake Spoon. She's his quote-unquote girlfriend, but she's really only with him because he promised to take her to Denver. And anyway, as they're making this push forward, there are a lot of there are side characters that come along the way. There is July Johnson, who is the sheriff in Arkansas, who's actually looking for Jake Spoon. And they end up kind of pushing, as they're pushing this cattle, there are a lot of events that are happening. There's storms, there are Indians, there are friends hanging friends. There is so much happening throughout this process that ends up in Montana, none of which are less important than others, but also all of which make up this story. One of them is Jake Spoon, who is their friend, ends up getting hung by Augustus and Captain Call.
He just made one too many bad. He's not even a bad guy. He's just he's like Augustus, but lazier somehow.
Yes. Yeah, and
Augustus will work if he has to, I guess.
Yeah, but they're both very obsessed with gambling and sleeping around and drinking, and that's really their calling. And while that's happening, there are so many parallel stories. Like I said, there's July Johnson, who's a sheriff who's after Jake Spoon, that we get introduced to, obviously, before he makes his entrance into the Jake Spoon world, which he never really actually sees. And there is another story of Almira, who is July Johnson's wife, who ends up running away while he's out there looking for Jake Spoon. And there's a parallel story of Clara, who is Augustus's old crush or love, yeah, old
his
girlfriend.
Old, his old flame.
His old flame, right.
Who like kind of, you know, everybody centers kind of around her.
Yes.
At some point.
So. Yeah, she becomes sort of the mecca of everything. She lives in Nebraska, and like you just said, everybody ends up in that town one way or another. July stops there. Lorena stops there. Augustus call. Everybody ends up there. Elmira.
And Augustus' like main purpose of, I think, going to Montana is to see her.
Yes.
So it gives him a reason to go, because I don't know if he would have otherwise.
Yeah. That's very interesting. Like, there are so many characters that are here that are all out to do something that is very specific to their own personal need. So you got Augustus is only on this trip so that he could stop in Nebraska and see Clara. And Call is there so that he can do something that's never been done before, which is create a ranch and work and bust his ass. And
and have like real land.
Right.
Opposed to, I guess, I don't know, wherever they are, seem to have land, but maybe the first
they weren't
settlers.
Ranchers. Yeah. They weren't ranchers on that. And you can't with the heat and there's no cattle and all that. And then you have July Johnson, who makes it, who's on this whole, again, parallel story to find his wife, Elmira, and in the process gets his son and stepson and his deputy sheriff and this other girl that was traveling with them killed by Indians. And Elmira, who's on this trip to find her old flame, who doesn't care about her anymore, but she's obsessed with him, and she's traveling all these different places from Kansas to Arkansas to San Antonio to all these places just to find him, ends up finding him in Nebraska next to Clara.
It almost seems like the point that everybody's looking for something.
Yeah.
They all have to, it only takes one person, Jake Spoon, to be like, well, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And the reason he said it is more selfish, probably.
Because Montana, you mean? Yeah.
Montana, yeah. Because he's like, I'm wanted.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's his reasoning, Jake Spoon's reasoning for traveling was just, I want to gamble and not get caught. So you could see him along the path, which is like, he'll stop in San Antonio, he'll leave Lori, who is camping sort of in a distance of the Hat Creek outfit, sort of by herself with him, because mainly she doesn't want to be around all those guys because they're kind of all looking at her like a piece of meat. I mean, they're traveling a bunch of guys, and she's the only attractive person. And the author keeps honing in on the fact that she is a very attractive, the most beautiful woman you'll ever see. Like, he makes it a point to show, like, she's not just a woman that's traveling. She is a very beautiful woman that's traveling. And Jake Spoon's downfall really starts with him leaving Lori so that he can go gamble in San Antonio, and gets her kidnapped by this man, Blue Duck, who's an Indian. Gets Augustus to basically follow and try to track him down and figure out where he's going. And that's when Augustus runs into July Johnson and ends up rescuing Lori, comes back. Jake sort of goes off on his own tangent with these robbers at this point, and basically is in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what he is. He's traveling with bad people, and the bad people end up getting killed, and that's how Jake Spoon ends up getting hung, because he's caught red-handed.
Yeah, just a lot of bad decisions.
Bad decisions. That's all it is. Wrong place, wrong time. July Johnson gives up trying to chase his wife down because he gets to Clara's house and decides that she doesn't want him. She ends up dying, his wife. July Johnson ends up staying with Clara in Nebraska. Lori, who shows up to Nebraska with Augustus, decides that she feels safe there for the first time, so she stays with Clara. July Johnson's son, who Elmira gives birth to in Clara's house, also stays with Clara. Clara asks Augustus to stay. He doesn't want to. And this goes back to what we were saying, which is what was driving Augustus. And this whole time you think it's Clara, and then he just wants freedom. I think and you see that towards the end when Augustus's life is sort of hanging in the balance, and he could save his life, but it means he has to give up his freedom to travel and ride horses. And even what got him killed in the first place was this, just him running through this open fields. Freedom was very, very important to Augustus. And that was really that was his downfall, really. And he could have stayed with Clara. He could have, her husband at the time was dying and ends up dying. So Augustus could have stayed there and been with her. And he doesn't. He chooses this freedom.
Yeah,
this
they both know it probably wasn't going to work. Yeah. Why it didn't work the first time. Why she probably moved to Nebraska.
Exactly.
It's because he probably just can't.
Right. Exactly. Still. He can't sit still. That's a perfect way to put it. And they push. They do this push. So now July Johnson, Lori, and Clara are living together in Nebraska. And the push for cattle is... Jake has died. And there's a push for cattle up to Montana from Nebraska, where Augustus, Captain Call, and the rest of the Hat Creek outfit, which includes Newt, who is Captain Call's son, who he's not recognizing, which is kind of an interesting character in this. And they make the push up to Montana, and they keep going north and north and north. And at some point, Augustus goes with one of the crew members to see if there's anything more up north that they can basically settle into. And while he's there, they get attacked by these Indians, which ends up getting Augustus's leg amputated. And the doctor in the town, after they found him, asks him, if you want to live, you have to get your other foot amputated as well. And Augustus, with Captain Call being right next to his bedside, makes the decision that he's not going to do that. Yep,
nope. It's a pretty badass way to go.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know if I'd do it, but...
No, but at that time, I mean, I guess it's like kind of what you were saying. He had no... There's no means to get around anymore. If both their legs are gone or...
Yeah, no freedom.
It's like even to... What was he going to do? Yeah. You're a rancher or you're... a tracker or whatever. He couldn't do any of
former that. Ranger. I mean, it was a bit, it's a big part of his identity to be able to travel around. Captain Call tries to stop him, tells him, get your other leg cut off and you'll live. And he decides not to, and ends up dying.
I think that's the coolest part. It's like, he could have just died.
Yeah.
But it was like, kind of like, no, I'm just going to go out this way.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he that's the funny part, is like he does so much when he's being attacked by the Indians to stay alive. So for him, it wasn't like, I want to die, because he could have just gave up when the Indians were attacking him, because he was kind of huddled up in this like small little nook in a cave, and he could have really died there, and he could have given up, but he didn't want to die. And even towards the end, he doesn't want to die. He just doesn't want to live without the freedom. That was very important to him. Even one leg being amputated was too much for him. But knowing two, he can't ride horses. He can't travel. He can't see anything. What is he going to do with no two?
Yeah, legs? I feel like with one, he probably would have stayed alive, mm-hmm. I guess. I think he would
have. Could have gotten around, right?
Yeah.
And then we get this crazy request by Gus before he dies, where he asks Captain Call to take his body and bury it underneath a tree where Gus and Clara used to basically sit under that tree when they were dating back in the day. And, of course, Captain Call has to do it, and he ends up taking his body when it gets warm from Montana. First, he stops in Nebraska and tells Clara and Lori, who both of them basically had a relationship with Augustus, tells them that he's dead, and takes his body and travels down with it to Texas, puts his body underneath the tree, buries him, puts a very symbolic sign on top of him, and takes himself, walks down, takes himself to Lonesome Dove again, basically where everything started, stands in the spot where the old saloon was, where we basically have some of our opening scenes of this book, and it's been burned down. Because basically the town, the crew was the town. And now that the crew is gone, and Lori's gone, and Gus is gone, and Captain Call is gone, all these people sort of driven these cattle up north, no one was really left in Lonesome Dove to sort of keep Lonesome Dove alive. And the main central location of this entire story was that saloon in Lonesome Dove. And... to come back all the way to it after all this. And the ending scene is Captain Call standing in the destroyed version of the saloon where all of these crazy activities were happening. That was really the ending scene of it, which was an incredible ending.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah.
It was there were so many parts of what I just said, which is a very cool, supposed to be a quick synopsis, but 850 pages, that's how it goes.
There's so much more that right. It's just
the realism that happens in this book should not be underlooked. I think it was one of the most impressive novels, period, in terms of like realism. The push of cattle, just that alone, how they got the cattle would be something that would be overlooked. Like, there is a whole, I don't know, 50 pages about how those two people got their cattle. They went down to Mexico and they tried to steal it. And this other guy who they met along the way, who ends up coming back, who I didn't even mention because why? And he, you know, they steal some horses for him. And while they're there, they steal some cattle. And the person they steal cattle from is dead. And they take the cattle and they move up. And how they get these other people and along the way, people are dying of snake bites. I mean, there's
just, and they kind of lull you to sleep too, because besides Blue Duck, mm-hmm. the most Indians they meet are nice, so mm-hmm. they don't do anything. So when it happens, when right. Gus gets attacked, it comes out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, because you're like, oh, you know, there really hasn't been that many, besides Blue Duck, which is one guy that kidnapped somebody.
But they do constantly talk about
the
fear of Indians.
But you kind of like don't see it until you see it.
Exactly. Exactly. I think what the last thing I'll say about the actual synopsis of this story is the parallel stories that run with this really are, it's the Hat Creek outfit as one story, and then it's July Johnson's story as another. And July Johnson, I would say, runs parallel maybe about, I don't know, halfway through the book, he kind of comes in. And you don't know how that ties into everything until you know how it ties into everything. You kind of are like, what is this random story about this sheriff in Arkansas and his wife that hates him? Like, what is this all about? And his stupid deputy sheriff and his son who isn't his. And you're just like, you're reading this story and you just got so, like, oh, I want to know what's going on with the Hat Creek outfit. And then you just get introduced in the next chapter. Like, July Johnson was never the kind of man who was. And you're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And the author doesn't tell you at all until, like, they actually come across each other. Or maybe, like, you can kind of put two and two together when he kind of leaves and he's looking for the guy who killed his brother. Like, you kind of are just, what are you doing? And then when it happens, you're like,
yeah, oh, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay. The parallel stories were very, very interesting. I didn't like them in the beginning, I'll be very honest. When I first started, I just wanted the July Johnson part to get out of the way because I wanted so much to know what was going on with Gus and Call and all these people. And then once they kind of met, like once July sort of met them, it became very intriguing because I started to feel so bad for July Johnson. I was like, oh man, this poor sucker whose life is in shambles.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He's a officer who's not really brave.
Right.
He's like the opposite of Colin Augustus in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Like where like their life is kind of like all about adventure and he doesn't want to do this at all.
No.
He does not want to go. He's kind of really bullied into doing
going,
it.
Going, right. By his sister-in-law.
Yeah, which is odd. It's like it's his brother and he didn't want to do it.
Yeah. And he mentions so many times that there nothing happens in a town where he's a sheriff because the army base is right there. So nobody really messes with this town. So he's just coasting by. And nobody's more scared than his deputy sheriff, who has to go back. He has to follow him at some point, and he's scared out of his
wits. I mean, and it's definitely a parallel because, like, he ends up with Clara somehow.
Right.
And Clara can't stand him.
Yeah. She thinks he's lazy. He was lazy then. He was lazy there. Yeah, I think this is a good place to stop for the synopsis of the story. And I think we could sort of deem this as part one, massive synopsis. Okay. Yes. And then we'll do a part two where we kind of dive in a little bit more into the actual storyline and go from there. So thank you guys for listening to part one of Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. If you haven't read the book, you should. If you have, listen in for part two. Thank you guys.
Good to see you.